I was just looking at Entertainment Weekly an issue late, and they have this thing about the political films that are starting to happen, and they sort of made the observation, which is probably true, which is that there's a current going on in the culture in this country, in England, about, you know, terrorism post 9/11, and we're seeing something like what happened in the 70s.
Yeah, a little renaissance of that. Yeah.
And so you've got these two, my favorite two performances, the provocative thing in the Neil LaBute film, and this one, you're really on the edge, right in the middle of that, which is provocative. In some ways political, but certainly always provocative, and that's what your handle is now, which I really like.
I suppose I do like things that jolt us out of complacency. I mean, I enjoy that myself. Mm-hmm. I like to be startled. In the shape of things, it's, you know, sort of sexual politics and gender politics, which are hugely important. This is more like world politics with a capital P. But they're both great pieces of writing. I think also for a woman, there are a lot of quite boring parts, I think, for women. And I think this one and the Neil LaBute, they're really interesting female roles.
But apart from the fact that they are obviously excellent parts and really interesting roles for you as an actress, what about the current that I was trying to describe? There seems to be something actually happening that you're right in the middle of.
It happened.
Good Night, Good Luck,
yes,
Syriana,
absolutely.
All these, you know.
I've seen both of those, and, you know, it happened. It really surprised me. And it was only when I'd seen Good Night, Good Luck, and then I saw Syriana, and then I thought about it, and then I saw the article that you're talking about, and I thought, wow, because I thought we were living in a time of utter complacency. But when you group those three films together, you suddenly go, oh wow, no, actually something is happening, and there is a kind of there is a kind of consciousness and a voice and some anger and looking at the culture and examining it and holding it up. Probably I'm gonna. Yeah, give me a minute. Yeah, thank you.
Do you get for bread and butter?
Do I get? No, thank you.
Sorry, no.
Thank you. Do you want bread and butter?
No, thank you.
No.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Can't
absolutely.
Eat bread and butter.
Absolutely. Really? Don't need it.
You have to say no to certain things.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, bread and butter. Oh, for the picture.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Definitely. But it happened because, I think we live in a time when we go, oh my God, there's just so much crap being made. And if only you think of the 70s, you know, we all hold up the 70s as this time where, you know, those movies got, you know, those great movies got nominated for Oscars. And millions of people went to see them, but they were really about something, and they were political, and they were emotional, and they were important films. And I think everyone's got so used to saying, what's happened, what's happened, what's happened, and then suddenly something is happening. I mean, it's small, there's only three or four films, but who knows, maybe it's going to start I hope so, wouldn't that be great?
Paul Schrader once said that he thought that the 70s, you know, it was basically about, you know, it was about paranoia and the Nixon administration and the continuing war, and there was a kind of a mood back then. Would you ascribe to what's happening as something to do with what I was saying, which is probably some kind of fear of terrorism and the terrorist element, the Iraq War, post 9/11? Would you?
Well, interestingly enough, if you think about all the three films, Constant Gun, Syriana, and Good Night, Good Luck, actually they're all really about corporation running things. Well, corporation running government. Definitely, corporation running policy, so that it's no longer the politicians who are in control whatsoever. We think that, but that's just an illusion. It's these huge conglomerations how could you even find the bad guy? I mean, the bad guy's unfindable. He's not one guy. It's the whole capitalist global system now. And even in Good Night, Good Luck, which is, you see the pressure coming from the man who wants to speak the truth, from the big corporations, and the good guy there.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderfully played by
David Strathairn.
David Strathairn. Sorry, Frank Langella.
Yeah, Frank Langella.
Yeah, unbelievable performance. So you see the corporate head not being good for for as long as he can and allowing it, but getting you know, all his investors and advertisers are backing off. So in a way, it's a similar theme. I mean, Syriana, you know, I mean, that shot, that scene with the suicide bomber, you know, and then it cuts to white, and then it goes to those green fields, and you're not quite sure what it is. I mean, it's really startling. That, I mean, the message of that is really, really startling. I mean, it's a beautiful scene. I mean, it's filmed as poetry. I'm sorry, that's a separate subject to things being run by corporation, but fear of terrorism.
Right.
No, I don't think these films are about fear of terrorism. I think these films are about the fact that we've been frightened senseless by propaganda, that most of which is not true.
You know, someone was just saying that a movie that belongs in this wave, if you will, of what we're seeing right now, and that was a film that came too early on it, which was Michael Mann's The Insider.
Which is also about
the killing of, which everybody said, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see another anti-smoking movie. It's not an anti-smoking movie. It's about the killing of a news story by corporate interests, which is very much an...
Absolutely, yeah. It's about throttling the voice of, you know, the so-called freedom of speech.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the freedom of speech thing feeds into Syriana and that, you know, one is no longer allowed. One wasn't allowed to. What's his face? Wasn't allowed to say. Well, was it Bill Moyer? He couldn't. He said, well, at least you couldn't say they were cowards. And he lost his show.
Bill Moyer. Yes.
I mean, it's just the strangling of the voice that you. Actually, there was a time when I think one couldn't speak. One couldn't say anything after 9/11.
Right.
I mean, I understand why it happened, but I think freedom is. You know, it's either you. Was it Bush said? Did he say you're either with us or against us?
I had to restrain myself the very day of 9/11. I was about to say something in the column about how as horrific it was. I was going to say something like that. It was horrific and cruel and dastardly, but it wasn't cowardly. You know, but you can't.
You can't.
Really,
you couldn't.
You
know. Now you might. I don't know, but that, not on the day.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been.
Right.
I don't know what would happen to you. You see, there's total freedom of speech on the internet, isn't there? No one can shut you down.
Well.
Can they?
I take advertising from people. It's part of the psychology, at least. I'm not saying that I caved corporate, but if you're accepting money for sustenance and profit, it's part of the mix. It's certainly there.
Right.
I'm not just doing this altruistically.
Sure, no.
For the trust fund.
Sure, no, I wasn't thinking straight there, yeah. Hmm. Where are you from?
I'm born in New Jersey, raised in Connecticut, Tri-State area, Boston, New York, and then out here from 83.
You live here?
Lamentably. If I could have my brothers, I would live in London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a friend of Baz Bammy Boy.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
And I know, you know, the innate comfort levels that one has in London. Going back, I think, to the day when someone at British Airways said my last name, and I immediately recognized that was exactly the way it was supposed to be pronounced, and I've never pronounced it correctly. It's just a very subtle vowel thing.
It's funny.
Is there anything, as long as we're on this thing, because you get scripts all the time, is there anything else that you've heard about either in development, in production, or that has at least been written and sent to you that is of a strong, assertive, political tone or theme that seems to be, you know, kind of in this ballpark?
No. I know immediately, no. So
there's no wave here. We're just talking about a flurry.
It's a flurry,
it's all, we're going to revert back to formula comedy.
Well, I think there's a hunger for it, though, amongst viewers. I think it's meeting a need.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Certainly hunger in my end. I mean, I'd love
it. How is Syriana doing? I mean, box office wise.
They have not opened it widely, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectations across the board, let's be honest, is that it's too difficult to follow for average. It's difficult to follow for me.
Yeah, me too, totally. I got very confused. But
David Denby in The New Yorker said it was hell to follow.
Yeah, it's very hard to follow.
It's like you're being, you know, quizzed in a very tough college course and you can't study properly.
Yeah, but it took you, like, experientially on the voyage of just how complex and intricate these things are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It made your brain ache, but in a way that's how things really are, I believe.
Right.
don't you? I mean, it seemed to me...
I'm always glad. We're always glad if we're stretched. And maybe the act of being challenged or you know, working harder is maybe, you know, not as easy as sitting there brain dead on a video game, but it always feels good afterwards.
Yeah, it does.
Always glad to do it. Terry Malick, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing exactly the same thing. What are you going to do next? What have you made that I haven't seen?
The next film that's coming out is called The Fountain.
Oh, yeah. March, right? Or April?
Yeah, it hasn't got a definite release date. Maybe it'll go to Cannes. That will probably be its first viewing.
Because that was going to be the end of this year.
He didn't finish cutting it until he picture locked about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So it was they knew by fall there was no way. It was very complex film to cut. Very complex.
Can you describe it? I could rip it on myself, but can you give me a condensed?
Adult fairy tale, an epic psychedelic science fiction story about love and death and searching for the fountain of youth. What's psychedelic? I think the watching of it, it wasn't psychedelic making it, but
trippy visuals.
It has some trippiness, around the death issues. But it's really a love story. It's very romantic. It's set in three time zones, 16th century Spain, since the court of Seville, the Queen Isabella and Hugh Jackman's a conquistador. And then it's set in present-day America. And then it's set in the distant future, deep space. And we're lovers in each time zone. So it's kind of like a braid. It weaves in and out.
The other person being...
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's Tomas as a conquistador, and then Tommy in the present, and then Tom in the future. And it's he's searching for the fountain of youth. And my main character is in the present day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Isabella in Spain. Present day, I'm a woman called Izzy who's dying of cancer, who dies of cancer. And it's she finds grace before death. She comes to terms with it. It's about death and love and loss.
It sounds absolutely fantastic.
It's big themes. But it's not it's not an intellectual piece. I think it's very visceral and emotional and romantic and very visual. And big conquistador battle scenes, and I think it looks like a $100 million movie, and it was under 30. So,
really?
Yeah. The visuals are really something else.
I've never read...
There's a teaser online, a 30-second teaser that he just put out.
Great.
Literally 30 seconds, but check it out.
Okay, I will.
It literally says, one man, one love. You know, it's 30 seconds.
All right.
But you'll get a sense of something.
You don't remember the URL. I guess it's with the distributor probably has it, right?
I think if you put the...
Is it Warner Brothers who's distributing?
In America... It's Warner Brothers and Fox. I don't know who's doing domestic. I think Warner Brothers, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll find it.
Yeah. You know you're wearing around things like that.
What did Darren think of the Batman movie? Because he worked so hard on on his own, did he not?
Well, I mean, they asked him to write one, and he wrote one that was very dark, and I think...
Was it an origin story or something different?
I really don't know. I'm not too familiar with the Batman thing.
But did you see the Chris Nolan's film?
I did, yeah, I liked it.
It was an origin, you know, it showed how he became...
Oh, I see.
You know.
No, it was something very, very dark.
Okay.
Really dark, and they read it, and they said there's no way they would make it. I mean, he said he would direct it if he could make that, but it was really dark.
Hmm.
Which, from what I understand, he's told me is quite true to the origins of Batman. It was quite dark.
Okay.
He wasn't necessarily totally a good guy. I'm talking out of my... I have no idea.
Chris Nolan's was kind of on the darkish side. I mean, certainly wasn't...
Yeah.
He wasn't the healthiest guy.
He wasn't healthy. No. Yeah. I think Terrence was really dark.
Okay.
You can imagine. I mean,
right.
Probably seen... I don't know.
How long is The Fountain?
The film?
Yeah.
How long is it to watch?
Yeah.
It's not that long. I think it's under...
It just sounds like a lot to leave in.
I think it's
in.
Under 100 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it's great.
The order
for
totally
fine.
You know what? I think I'll get a... Muffaletta. Don't know what that is.
Okay.
Could I get... Sorry, it's an interesting menu. could I get, you know, I'll get a Cobb salad.
Okay.
But can I get no cheese and no creamy herb dressing? Can I just get olive oil on the side?
Cobb salad, no blue cheese, digamos.
Yeah, no dressing, just olive oil on the side.
No cheese, no dressing.
Yeah.
Only olive oil.
Yes, okay. Please. That sounds good.
I think I'm fine. Thank you. I'm okay. I'm pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Makes you hungry. Thank you.
You wouldn't like any bread?
I'm sure. Yeah, brown. Brown. Anything brown.
Okay.
Thanks.
I can see why if he managed to get a, you know, an emotional complex piece three times, it just sounds like a bitch to make short or modest length. An hour and 40 minutes, not very long.
Yeah, I think I got the time right. Yeah, just to cut in general, I think it was, it's very complex.
Right.
Because it's three different stories, but he found the line through, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he edit at home on his computer with the, you know, the software that you can get now?
No.
And do it yourself?
No, he was editing with Jay Rubinowitz was his editor, and they were editing in the Brill Building in New York. So they've been there since March.
I took a picture in the Brill Building, and I was last there. I was seeing the Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, yeah. How is that? I hear it's great. No.
It's wonderful camera work. It feels very invested in terms of the all the production and design particulars. But and a lot of people like it.
People are
quite
love
high
it.
In that. Yeah. I think that Keira Knightley is. But I am of the opinion that I don't feel a river running through her when I see her. And I also don't understand, relate to. You know, girls wondering which guy is going to...
I know. This is what Darren says. Darren says, like, you couldn't... I said, please, that's why I'm seeing it yet. He said, you couldn't pay me. He went to it.
I mean,
yeah. I was wondering whether to get married. That's hysterical.
But it's Jane Austen,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm not just disrespecting...
Yeah.
It's funny.
That's the funniest thing when you hear the trailer from Jane Austen. The cunt's pride. It's just very funny. But anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to watch it. It's a girls' movie, maybe.
So you're not just waiting for the next part. You're a hyphenate. You're a producer. You are going to produce again. You are in that mindset. That's what you're doing now, right? You're not just taking scripts, right? Aren't you looking to...
Well, I would take a script.
Of course.
Yeah. But I tell you what I've been doing. It was more came... It came less from the desire to produce and more from the desire to do comedy.
People are starting to talk. Go ahead.
Okay. So I've developed one comedy in England and one in America, and I'm producers on both of those. So I had a meeting this morning with it's going to be HBO and BBC Films.
Okay.
A co-production, and it's a quintessentially British comedy about a publication in England which was called the Erotic Review.
Okay.
And it's about the woman who became the editor of this thing. Tonally it's hard to understand. It's about the British and sex, and about how it's about naughtiness.
Right.
I don't know, naughtiness doesn't have quite the same ring in America, but it's about the eccentricities of the British and sex.
And one thinks about naughtiness and repression and no sex, please, we're British and all that.
Yeah.
The latest manifestation of that is Mrs. Henderson presents.
Right.
Did you see that?
I haven't yet, but it's tonally in that world, except it's contemporary. So, but it's in that world. The Brits can get away. If you're British, you can get away with talking about erotica and dirty, you know, spanking bottoms and things. You can get away with it. In England, we're not really puritanical, and there's a way we can talk about those things, and it can stay quite charming.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't get sordid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that will occupy your time and energies for the next. It has not been shot yet, you're saying?
No. It hasn't even been written yet.
Finding
a writer. It's very preliminary.
Okay.
And there's a script in America, which I'm getting the first draft for soon, which is another thing, and that has been written. But neither of them have been made yet.
Okay.